always, Christina Menenti with your worldwide news update. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter will be honored Thursday with the pageantry of a funeral in the nation's capital and second service in his tiny Georgia hometown that launched a Depression-era farm boy to the world stage. The dual funerals conclude 6 days of national funeral rites for the 39th president, who died December 29th at the age of 100. President Joe Biden will eulogize Carter in Washington. Carter's other living successors are expected to attend, along with other dignitaries. Carter will be buried alongside his late wife, Rosalynn Carter, in the same town where they were born, lived most of their lives, and died. At least 5 people have been killed and nearly 2,000 structures have been destroyed in the fast-moving wildfires breaking out across the Los Angeles area, and the number is expected to increase. AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
The worst damage is in Altadena and Pacific Palisades. Pasadena Fire Chief Chad Augenstein is hoping for a break from the very strong Santa Ana winds.
We expect, with favorable conditions over the next couple days, to start making good progress on this fire.
Audio from KABC. But there is a new fire danger in the Hollywood Hills. That's where the Hollywood sign is. Below is Hollywood Boulevard. Allison Martin is watching very closely.
They advise us that it wouldn't come over the hills if it's really scary.
Palisades fire already is the most destructive in Los Angeles history. I'm Ed Donahue.
Lebanon's parliament elected Army Chief Joseph Aoun head of state on Thursday, filling the vacant presidency with a general who enjoys U.S. approval and showing the diminished sway of the Iran-backed Hezbollah group after its devastating war with Israel. Aoun fell short of the 86 votes needed in a first-round vote, but crossed the threshold with 99 votes in a second round, according to Parliament Speaker Nabi Berri, after lawmakers from Hezbollah and its Shiite ally, the Amal movement, backed him. This is VOA News.
We need to do everything possible to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs in terms of training, in terms of equipment, to prolong the fight and to prevail in this fight, which of course started in February 22 with the massive onslaught of Russia, unprovoked onslaught of Russia on Ukraine.
That was NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte as he arrived at Ramstein U.S. Air Base for the 25th meeting of about 50 member nations who have been supporting and providing for Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin used their final meeting in Germany to press the incoming Trump administration to not give up on Kyiv's fight, warning that to cease military support now, quote, will only invite more aggression, chaos, and war, unquote. Austin announced Thursday another round of weapons from the U.S. worth $500 million, including missiles for fighter jets, sustainment equipment for F-16s, armored bridging systems, and small arms and ammunition. South Korea's impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol has refused questioning and resisted arrest since his bungled December 3rd martial law decree plunged South Korea into its worst political crisis in decades. Investigators secured a new arrest warrant Tuesday after an initial 7-day order expired. Lawyers representing Yoon told reporters at a press conference in Seoul on Thursday that they would not comply with the current warrant, but only a stronger one from a different court if approved. They accused investigators of targeting an allegedly liberal-leaning judge for the initial orders.
The arrest warrant currently issued is illegal and invalid, so it cannot be acknowledged. I cannot proceed while recognizing such a situation. This is a firm position. However, to prevent further harm or unfortunate incidents, I am willing to comply if prosecution or a pretrial detention warrant is requested.
That was one of Yoon's lawyers, Yoon Kyeb-kun. Yoon would become the first sitting South Korean president to be arrested if investigators are able to detain him. Yoon's legal team said on Wednesday he remains inside the residential compound after investigators cast doubt a day earlier on his whereabouts. An attack on Chad's presidential palace has left at least 19 dead, including a palace guard. AP correspondent Karen Chamas has more.
State media reported that at least 18 of those killed were assailants and that 6 of the attackers that were still alive were being held in custody. The attack on Wednesday night occurred while Chadian President Mahamat Debny Itno was inside the palace, but authorities said the situation was quickly brought under control. Chad has been reeling from political turmoil before and after a controversial presidential election that resulted in Debi Itno's victory. I'm Karen Chamas.
That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.
Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheya Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Mozambique's opposition leader Venancio Mondlane arrived this morning in the Mozambican capital Maputo after almost 3 months in exile when Wasai fled, fearing for his life in protest of the October 9 general elections, which was announced and gave the victory to the ruling Frelimo Party candidate Daniel Chapo.
That is our reporter Charles Manguero reporting from Maputo on opposition leader Venancio Mondlane's return from self-exile today. Details coming up also. Former President Jimmy Carter is honored in a funeral service today. And in Africa, he is remembered for his fight against Guinea worm disease. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. Former President Jimmy Carter was honored at the state funeral today in Washington, D.C., a week and a half after he died at the age of 100. The day was declared an official federal holiday and the public was allowed to pay respects as Carter's body lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda. A few hours ago, his casket was moved to the Washington National Cathedral for the funeral service with several presidents, including the White House's current occupant, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump, who will be sworn in later this month for his second term in office, and other dignitaries gathered. Carter, known as his humanitarian work after his single 4-year term in office as the 39th president, is to be taken later to his home state of Georgia for burial. My colleague, VOA's Philip Alexio, has been in front of the cathedral. He joins me now by phone to describe the scene on a cold, windy day in Washington. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Philip.
Thanks, Jaheas. You're absolutely right. It's an absolutely blustery day in the nation's capital.
So tell us about the scene at the cathedral.
Well, just so folks know, the cathedral is facing west. And so when the sun rises behind it today, just a brilliant, brilliant blue sky, and the colors of the sun from the east were just shining brilliantly off to the side of the cathedral. So there's sometimes when you go to a funeral, or it just seems like sometimes things are just perfect. So the stage was kind of set there as far as the weather.
Yeah.
But a lot has been going on. As far as the service here at the National Cathedral. And so much activity goes on, and there's nothing like a state funeral. The motorcade arrived at 9:30 for the funeral service at 10, and then the Marine Orchestra played, and the Armed Forces and the chorus performed a number of tribute songs. And then you had remarks made by a number of people, and just recently we had Ted Mondale has been speaking. He is the son of Walter Mondale, who was the vice president running with Jimmy Carter. So a number of people speaking. And then when the motorcade arrives, it's kind of interesting. There's a sort of special honor guard disembarks from the vehicle. The family members all follow. They're all escorted inside the cathedral. And once the family is there, then the hearse doors open, and then the body bearer and the color teams move to the rear of the hearse. And so you have the pallbearers and the special honor guard in position, and they join in to take the casket out and carry it in. And then you have the U.S. Coast Guard van. And that's how it's fascinating to watch, actually.
And, Philip, in addition to Biden and Trump, which other former presidents were there?
Well, you've got President Obama, as you said, President Trump, President Biden, and then you have George Bush, President Bush as well, and President Clinton also. So you've got plenty of fine dignitaries here, and many chiefs of state from around the world. Some are here as well, and the president's cabinet, Jimmy Carter's cabinet's there. So it's a full service of what you really would typically expect from a state funeral of the president of the United States.
And what comments do you hear from people who come to the Capitol to pay their respects?
Well, I tell you, you know, over the past couple of days, you actually had a chance to talk to people, and certainly, if you talk about some of the things, at least what Vice President Harris has said, she has called on people to understand and embrace President Carter's humility, and that should be a lesson, because I think a lot of people would certainly agree that Jimmy Carter was a man of humility. Senator John Thune, he hit some of his comments were focused on talking about Jimmy Carter, how he was focused on making the lives of fellow men better. And certainly Jimmy Carter, President Carter, had certainly lent himself to great humanitarian efforts for much of his life after his presidency. And some people that we spoke to on the street have talked a lot about how powerful President Carter's faith was, not only in his life, but how he embraced his faith to live his life and to run his presidency, and then to carry on his work to make things better for fellow men around the world. That has been a very inspiring message throughout. It's also been a message that we have heard here at the cathedral. It's a message we heard outside the Capitol building as people were paying their respects for the past couple of days over at the Capitol building. So much of what everyone talks about, and finally, I think I should mention President Biden, and he is a man of few words as opposed to someone who may have lots to say. I think President Biden put it very simply by saying that Jimmy Carter was a man of simple decency. And I mean, people may find that to be an agreeable way of describing the former president, Jimmy Carter.
VOA's Philip Alexiou reporting from the Washington Cathedral on a cold and windy day. Thanks for your input, Philip.
Absolutely, yes.
Jimmy Carter and his nonprofit organization, the Carter Center, led a decades-long campaign to eradicate guinea worm disease, which is a parasitic infection that causes painful wounds from the parasites. In 2014, I had the privilege of interviewing him regarding his work in trying to eradicate the disease from Africa.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
My name is Yehayis Wuhib, originally from Ethiopia.
Yes.
Right now I'm an international radio broadcaster here at the Voice of America.
It's good to talk to you.
It's an honor and a privilege talking to you, sir. I asked the president about the extent he had to reach out to groups such as women and local leaders in his campaign to eradicate guinea worm disease from Africa.
We depend on them overwhelmingly, particularly women volunteers. Right now we are concentrating on southern Sudan, which is going to be the last place with guinea worm, and we have about 12,000 volunteers now working for us, with about 100 employees, most of them Sudanese. So we depend heavily on women because they take care of the children. They're the ones that ordinarily go to the ponds to get water. And if we can educate the women about what causes the disease, that's the key to success.
I also asked President Carter if there were lessons learned from the successful campaign against guinea worm disease that could be used in efforts against other diseases, including polio.
Yes, we use the same technique against a number of other diseases. That is to go into a village to convince the leaders that we're there to help them, to let them know that they have to do almost all the work. So we're now dealing with a number of other diseases ourselves. For instance, we're working on schistosomiasis, We're working on onchocerciasis, which is river blindness. We're working on trachoma. We're working on lymphatic filariasis, which is elephantiasis. And we also are working on malaria in some cases. But in all of those cases, we use the same technique that we did with guinea worm. That is to recruit as many of the leaders as possible, including the president of the country, the minister of health, the village chief, but also as many volunteers as we can. So the technique that we use on guinea worm basically is the same as we use on other diseases. Of course, all of them don't involve, you know, treatment of pond water.
10 years ago, in my conversation with President Carter, I asked about the level of success he had so far in his quest to eradicate guinea worms from Africa.
Well, let me give you a couple of examples. In Ghana, this year, we've only had 8 cases. And last year, at the same time, we had 236 cases. So that's a tremendous reduction.
Big reduction.
Okay. In Mali, last year, we had 74 cases at this time in late August. 74 cases. Now we have 13 cases this year. So you see, that's a tremendous, that's an 82% reduction as well.
Yes.
In Ethiopia, we only have 15 cases left.
The work is almost done.
Almost done in those countries, but we still have almost 1,400 cases in Sudan. But we have very good control over those cases as well. So we're making very good progress in all 4 countries. And of course, the other 16 countries don't have any guinea worm left.
And finally, that's how my interview with the president concluded.
We love your country, by the way.
Oh, Ethiopia?
Ethiopia.
All of Africa loves you anyway, but Ethiopia, you have a special place.
Well, I feel that way. But yes. Best wishes to you, and thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
As you just heard, President Jimmy Carter was instrumental in eliminating guinea worm disease. The people of Ebonyi State in southeastern Nigeria are expressing gratitude to the late president, who led efforts to eradicate guinea worm in their area. Mike Nbonye reports from Lagos.
Nigeria's Ebonyi State long battled guinea worm disease. The crippling parasitic disease ravaged communities across the state. People contract the disease by drinking water infected with guinea worm larvae, which are often found in slow-moving water sources, such as ponds. Dr. John Nkoda is the former state coordinator of guinea worm eradication.
In Ebonyi, we had 13 local governments. All of them were affected. About 80% of the communities in the state were affected. When the case in the whole world was 3.6 million, and from that time, when Jimmy Carter joined as one of the major partners in the program, it was launched in Nigeria in 1988. That time we had 303,000 cases in Nigeria. But coming down to Ebonyi, that was very endemic, but around 100,000 cases.
Nkoda tells VOA that the Carter Foundation was key to eradicating the scourge.
When Jimmy Foundation came under the Global 2000 program, the Carter Foundation, so they came with a very big support. The support they rendered was mobilization, campaign, provision of intervention materials, eradication materials like provision of heaters, provision of water. Collaborated with UNICEF to provide the underdog wells to most of the endemic communities. So because the guinea worm now is gotten from pond water, so the main supporter supply in the state that then was pond water. So the intervention, they provided filters to filter water before drinking.
He also says the Carter Foundation treated infected ponds to destroy the larvae that transmit the guinea worm. The foundation collaborated with UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and Nigeria's Yakubu Gowon Center in the fight. The WHO says the disease now nearly is eradicated worldwide, with just 14 human cases reported in 2023. Ebonyi State was certified guinea worm free in December 2013. Nkoda says the people of Ebonyi State were saddened when they heard the passing away of Jimmy Carter last month. He says the people have been paying tribute to the man who helped them eradicate guinea worm.
So when we had this passing away in the last 2024 months, last Sunday, it was felt so bad. There have been comments from different patients, especially those that worked with us in the Ministry of Health that time, who know his role, made a comment, including myself, about the passing away of Jimmy Carter. In fact, he made the effort to eradicate guinea worm, not only guinea worm, but other diseases in the world.
Nkoda says Nigerians will continue to remember Carter for his service to the people, especially the less privileged. He says Carter stood as a hero in guinea worm eradication. This is Mike Mbunye for VOA News in Lagos.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Yehia Suhib in Washington. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1-202-258-3076. Every Wednesdays, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on African News Tonight. Chad's state media says an attack on the presidential palace yesterday night left 18 assailants dead and 6 in custody, with one soldier killed and 3 wounded. Officials blamed the attack on disorganized local youths who were intoxicated by alcohol and drugs. Foreign Affairs Minister Abdurrahman Koulamallah told state TV that it was probably not terrorism, adding the situation is completely under control. There is no fear, he said. He described the attackers as pieds de nickel, a reference in French meaning hapless crooks. An opposition figure voiced doubts. Max Kombonge, spokesman for the Political Actors Consultation Group, spoke of an unfortunate synopsis and a setup orchestrated by those in power. President Mahamat Debi Itno was inside the palace at the time of the attack. Hours before the shootout, he met with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi when they left for the next stop on a tour of African countries. Chad has been reeling from political turmoil before and after a controversial presidential election that resulted in Debi Itno's victory. He had led the country as interim president during the period of military rule that followed the death of his father in 2021. Thousands of people turned out today to meet Mozambique's main opposition leader Venancio Mondlane after he returned home for more than 2 months in exile to push his claim that he won the October presidential election. I talked with reporter Charles Manguero in Maputo a little while ago to brief us on the latest.
Mozambique's opposition leader, Venancio Mondlane, arrived this morning in the Mozambican capital, Maputo, after almost 3 months in exile, whilst I fled, fearing for his life in protest of the October 9 general elections, which was announced and gave the victory to the ruling Frelimo Party candidate, Daniel Chapo. On his arrival in Maputo, Mondlane said he had come to Mozambique to face justice. He had come to Mozambique so that whoever wants to talk to him for a dialogue, he is ready. He is ready for anything. He came to be with his supporters. He said he came to visit the mass graves of those who were killed during the violent protest that has killed more than close to 500 people in 8 weeks of violent protest.
Supporters appeared near the airport to greet him, but reports are saying that riot police armed with tear gas moved to disrupt the gatherings. Talk to us about police action on his supporters.
Thousands of supporters want to make it into the airport building, but surprisingly, the police sealed off most of the roads leading into the airport. Just after Mondlane's plane landed in Maputo Airport, as Mondlane was stepped off the airport, crowds were around the airport to greet him. They wanted to visit him, but that was the time we started seeing police from all many streets in around the airport firing tear gas, amongst them live bullets to the thousands of crowds who wanted to greet and visit Mondlane on his arrival in Maputo. And we are told that after Mondlane left the airport, he was heading to a place called the P Square in Maputo, where thousands were marching with him along that main road linking the city and the airport. Mondlane was on top of his car addressing his candidates. Unconfirmed reports say 3 of his supporters were shot dead by the police using real bullets.
Any government action against Mondlane could send Mozambique, still scarred by years of civil war, into a major crisis. So is the government making any overtures to resolve this crisis?
Venancio Mondlane was accused of trying to overthrow the government and the destruction of public infrastructure. So they laid against him, three civil and individual cases against him. As he arrived in Mozambique, surprisingly today, President Philippe Nyusi convened a meeting with political parties and say that he is committed to dialogue and he's ready to speak to all interested parties for the country's stability. However, Venancio Mondlane did not take part in that meeting because he was still at the airport arriving in Maputo. But other candidates, like the losing candidates, Osuf Momad of RENAMO and Lutero Simango of the Mozambique Democratic Movement, and President-elect Daniel Chapo were in that meeting. And that Chapo himself told reporters shortly after the meeting that he is committed to looking for all avenues for peace in Mozambique. Chapo said technical committee will be created to see how the dialogue can be put in place.
And lastly, Charles, you are in Maputo. How is the mood and the feeling in Maputo, and how is the feeling and mood of the whole country regarding Venancio Mondlane's return from self-exile?
People are really excited with Mondlane's return to Mozambique after almost 2 months in exile. People are saying in the streets now they are willing to see, they want to hear from their leader what he has on the sleeves about the country going forward. I spoke to one or two analysts. They are saying that Mondlane's coming to Maputo means three things. One, it could be the intensification of protests should there be no any dialogue or agreement between the warring parties. The others are saying that Mondlane's visit to Maputo will pave way for the dialogue to start between all the concerned parties, including the ruling party and other contesting political parties. So now we wait. We're expecting a lot of things to be happening before President-elect Chapo takes his office in the next 10 days. So the mood is very excited. People are not sure about the uncertainty of the country, but what they want for now, they want everything to come to normal. They want a normal Mozambique from now going on. But we are not sure what will happen because nothing has been said that gives an indication of what will happen from now onwards until Chapo takes his office in 10 days.
That's reporter Charles Manguero speaking with me from Mozambique's capital, Maputo.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Audrius Regas, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.